You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome, folks, here on Big Blue View's YouTube channel. Joe DeLeon here with Chris Fumman. We are reacting to the New York Giants have fired head coach Joe Judge after two seasons. Ultimately, a not-so-quality tenure under Joe Judge and ending in a stretch of games where they looked hapless, they looked lifeless, there was a lack of effort, the offense was non-existent, they weren't scoring any points, Jason Garrett was fired mid-season, there was no signs of progression, Daniel Jones unavailable, so a difficult circumstance to deal with for the Giants offense. But a lot of questionable decision-making, a lot of questionable responses in press conferences, and then ultimately it ends with a in-division loss and a play, multiple plays, in a situation where they chose to go with a quarterback sneak. It almost seems like that was the ultimate killer for Joe Judge. And Chris, we're here to talk about this. We're going to react, share our thoughts. Anyone who does have any thoughts on this and wants to drop a comment in the chat, we'll definitely share any thoughts or any questions or anything along those lines. But Chris, this is pretty crazy that we're getting thrown this at the end of the day on Tuesday on the East Coast, completely out of nowhere, separate from the other firings. It's almost as if the Giants said, we're going to wait until everyone talks about all the other head coach openings and we're going to create our own buzz and have our own massive storyline. So everyone's talking about it at the same time. It is a frenzy on social media right now with that news of Joe Judge being fired.
Yeah, it is absolutely insane. It is also so very, very Giants to make an announcement like this at 5:30 on a Tuesday when nobody is expecting it. I don't know what took them so long to make the decision. Maybe it was seeing that Brian Daboll is all of a sudden starting to get head coaching interview requests. Eric Bieniemy is getting a few requests. Maybe they heard from some of the guys they want to interview that they're not going to interview if they have to keep Joe Judge. One thing I did see is John Mara said that whoever their new general manager will lead the head coaching search, which is actually a pretty massive change from the way the Giants have done business in the past. You know, in the past, the head coach was always an ownership decision. You know, it was the Maras who interviewed and hired Tom Coughlin. It was John Mara's decision to hire, or rather promote, Ben McAdoo and also Pat Shurmur. And then it was, again, Joe Judge. It was always the ownership's decision. And they really wanted to have that kind of two-pronged power structure where the head coach was responsible for the player side of things, the on-field side of things, and then the GM was responsible for the front office, behind the scenes type mm-hmm. things. And you know, the hope was that they would work together, but we just saw that that never really happened. There were power struggles, there were breakdowns in communication, and it just didn't work. It led to an absolute mess, and now the Giants just have to hit hard reset. They have to hit the red button.
Yeah, and honestly, Chris, the thing that ends up being so surprising here is that we're getting this total 180 in philosophy. And over the course of, I think, what was probably like the month of December and the last 2 weeks that we're in January, you saw everybody commenting and sharing that the thought that things need to be done differently this offseason and with restructuring this organization. It can't be the same thought process and the same approach that has held back this franchise over the past decade since the last Super Bowl that they won. And everybody's talking about how, you know, you need to come in. This is the thoughts that I definitely was in agreement with, is that you need to start from scratch with a new head coach, new general manager. You need to bring in a general manager and allow him to make the decision on a guy that he thinks can lead a team that he builds from the ground up and restructure the roster and have guys that are working together instead of what we've gotten in the past. Like you were talking about, the Mara family having such a influential role in the decision-making on those various roles. And you saw it as far as Jason Garrett being hired as the offensive coordinator under Joe Judge. And we know for a fact that that was not a decision that Joe Judge was pushing for. He probably was not going to hire Jason Garrett. That was the Mara stepping in and doing that. But instead, they're finally taking a hands-off approach, which is something that is refreshing to see, that we're actually going to be put through a process where a general manager can be selected and then brought in with a head coach that he knows is going to share the same vision. It is hard to get two people from two different paths to come together, and that is ultimately going to lead to a lot of philosophical friction. And the other thing too, Chris, if I'm correct, I thought I saw on Twitter that Ernie Accorsi is not going to have a hand in the general manager search, which Ernie Accorsi has done some great things for this franchise, but it is probably for the best after what we got from Dave Gettleman that you need a different guy to lead that search.
Yeah. And besides, you know, who is Ernie Accorsi going to suggest? I mean, he suggested Gettleman to the Panthers and then suggested Gettleman to the Giants. So I mean, oh, by the way, this guy you just retired. You should hire him again. Yeah, that's just not going to happen. I find it interesting that it doesn't look like the Giants are going to be bringing in anyone to guide the search. You know, they're not bringing in Bill Polian. They're not bringing in Ernie Accorsi. They're not bringing in Tony Dungy or Bill Parcells or anyone else. And to me, that's kind of a good thing, that they're hopefully not going to be relying on the endorsement of somebody else, but instead go with the guy they believe is their best choice based on his interview and how well he interviews. And you know, that it's nice to see this team kind of step into the 21st century and maybe step away from the good old boys club just a little bit.
Yeah. And hopefully there are some decisions to look a little bit, not so much outside the box, because that probably might not net the right results. You want somebody with a proven track record, somebody who has the right people backing him. But the point that you make is that it can't be a retread. I don't think for general manager specifically, that should not be a retread. The last retread that we got was Dave Gettleman, and we perfectly see how that turned out. It was looking pretty rough towards the end of his time with the Panthers, and then ends up carrying that over into his time with the Giants. But conversely, I think, Chris, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. I almost think that it might benefit the Giants, and considering the level of quality of the organization, that they would be able to attract a former head coach, it might benefit them to go after somebody who has experience, even if it was at the interim level, being a head coach. So a Doug Peterson, a Brian Flores. And then I'm not endorsing this, but he's another name that fits into that category, which is Bill O'Brien, which I'm sure he's probably going to get interviewed. But those are some names that could be of option. Bill O'Brien, probably the least good option in that situation. But Flores and Peterson, I think, would be really possibly for really, really fantastic hires.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Maybe Harbaugh, if he is indeed interested in the NFL. Supposedly, the Giants have appealed to him in the past. I don't know. We'll leave that one off to the side.
I forgot about him. That's actually good to bring him up.
That would certainly, I think, have a that would certainly make a whole other frenzy on social media for us to deal with if his name gets brought up with any kind of seriousness with regards to the Giants job opening. I'm kind of with you on getting an experienced hand, because New York is a rough place. And, you know, Brian Flores, I think he would be a good pickup for the Giants. I think Brian Daboll in Buffalo, if he interviews with Schoen, you know, two guys who obviously know each other, they obviously have the ability to work together well. I think that would be good. Maybe Eric Bieniemy, to tie him with Poles out of Kansas City. Yeah, maybe in the same way we're seeing quarterbacks and young quarterbacks getting paired back up with skill position players they worked with in college to kind of short circuit that learning curve. I could maybe see the Giants trying to keep a duo together. But, you know, we'll have to see. Hopefully they'll just get the best guy available. And, you know, just speaking of quarterbacks, Daniel Jones might be the other domino to fall here. You know, we don't know who the next GM is going to be. We don't know who the next head coach is going to be, but they're going to have absolutely no connection to Daniel Jones. Yeah, he's going to be a pick of a previous general manager, and the head coach's predecessor's predecessor. So, yeah, things could get pretty exciting around New York.
Yeah, I think that that's certainly the last piece that comes into play here is what happens with Daniel Jones, who had a really promising start to his career. Last two seasons have been injury-filled and mistake-prone, and have not even statistically come anywhere close to what he did in that first season. I honestly think that there is probably not going to be a chance that Daniel Jones is going to continue as the team's quarterback. I would argue that bringing in an entirely new regime is going to pave the way for a team that wants to start from scratch, not to mention a team that is in salary cap hell and that will probably try to offload as much money as possible in the first year of the new GM and head coaching, you know, that first season. But it's unlikely that two new people are going to come in and say, we want to continue developing this guy. But the question there is, do they try to pursue somebody else or maybe do like a bridge type guy? Do they leave Daniel Jones to be the bridge guy for 1 year? The thing that certainly complicates that situation is the lack of quality quarterback talent in the 2022 NFL draft class. That is probably going to be the one thing that is going to hover over whoever the new general manager is. But I would argue that there is going to be a very difficult path for Daniel Jones to return.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Yeah, I think Jones might just have to interview to keep his job. And, you know, I think it's possible we could see the Giants pick somebody like Kenny Pickett at the top of the draft. He he is probably the best quarterback of the bunch. He does have traits that remind of Joe Burrow, which, you know, that I don't think he's as good as Joe Burrow. Burrow just has this uncanny ability to make things that should be really, really tough look easy. I don't quite see that with Kenny Pickett. And that's probably something we should be talking to Mark Schofield about anyway. You know, like I said, I think things are going to get very interesting. Things got a lot less sure than they were an hour ago. Yeah, I don't know what the Giants are going to look like next year. I don't know if Daniel Jones is going to be there. Maybe the Giants just move on from him to get picks. If they do think, or if other teams think that Jones is a better option than the quarterbacks in this draft, and the Giants want to bring in their own guy, maybe they start trying to position themselves for 2023. Maybe the Giants wind up trading Saquon Barkley, you know, in the hopes that he doesn't have another bad season and lose all value whatsoever, or wind up in a place where they have to try to pay him and sink $100 million into the running back position.
That's actually a really good point that I think you add in there too. I would actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I would argue Saquon Barkley's future is far more uncertain than Daniel Jones is at the moment, because if I'm correct, Daniel Jones has a fourth year on his contract, and then that decision to pick up his fifth year option, which is probably not going to happen. It's probably going to be Mitch Trubisky type situation where they won't end up bringing him back if that does happen. But Saquon, we're in the situation where it might be ideal for the new general manager to get rid of him and to send him to a team that is looking for some serious juice to the running back position, or just adding an explosive offensive weapon. And you're probably not going to get a high first round pick for him, especially the fact that there's the chance that Christian McCaffrey is going to be on the market, which has been rumored. But Saquon Barkley might not be back, considering what might potentially be owed to him if he tries to renegotiate a new contract. The fact that he hasn't, over the past couple seasons because of injury, hasn't really lived up to his capabilities because of those injuries. Now might be the time to cut bait after he had a couple good games to finish out the season, to send him off somewhere else and then try to get an early second, or that might even be generous to say an early second for Saquon Barkley. Anything that you can get in return for him for a team that is looking to add some juice to the running back position might be best for a GM in what is literally salary cap hell.
Yeah, just getting rid of Saquon, or I don't want to say is getting rid of him, but moving Saquon would free up some salary cap space, and it would get you a pick right now when you need it, that even if it was a third round pick, that's still better than any compensatory pick you're going to get. You might get eventually if you let him walk in free agency and he signs a big contract with somebody else.
Yeah, and there's going to be teams that are in like a win now mode that are going to look at Saquon and say, this is a piece that we can add that is going to really elevate our team. And, you know, maybe like a team like the 49ers, and I don't know what their cap situation is like off the top of my head, that we know that they love to run the football, and you put Saquon Barkley into that situation, they might be willing to make a move for a guy like that. So a lot of people's jobs, players in particular, are going to be up in the air, but we've got a lot of things that are going to happen over the course of the next couple of weeks as we continue to hear news of candidates, of potential, you know, interviews that are happening. There are going to be a lot of options for this Giants team, and there's plenty of time for us to sit here and react to kind of figure out what's going to happen.
Yeah, this is what we were hoping for back in 2018. This is a hard reset, a clean break for this franchise. They're finally getting the shakeup they have needed for so, so long. And I think we have a whole new world of opportunity and possibility opening up for fans and those of us who, you know, talk about and cover the team. It's honestly exciting.
Yeah, it is. I will leave us off with that before we wrap up, is that it, understandably, two people just lost their jobs, and it's terrible for them. And their Gettleman is retiring, but Joe Judge is going to get picked up by somebody pretty quickly to take over their special teams.
It's, yeah, he could be back in Foxborough by Sunday.
Exactly.
It's not that far of a drive.
We saw some special teams problems for the Patriots on Sunday, so it's very possible that Bill just calls him up and says, "Get your ass back up to Foxborough." But it is something that we were hoping for when Judge was originally hired, that Gettleman would not be a part of that group, but to start from scratch, to be in that position where there is going to be hopefully less meddling by the Mara family in the decision and forcing certain guys to work together. We hopefully will take time with this decision, and that it is two people that have a cohesive vision to turn this team into what it has been in the past decade, into a potential contender. We know that a New York team has that capability to be a potential contender. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Hit subscribe on the YouTube channel or wherever you're listening at.